Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me live from the quarantine again is Jenny Hayes.
Hello, everyone.
This is our second episode on mindset, and today we are talking about ego and expectation. And the reason for that is that there are kind of a lot of mental game strategies out there in the world of golf. Bob Rotella is the name of a guy who's pretty big on tour and working with tour players. He has things, he coaches his players to kind of do things like focus on the target rather than having swing thoughts. There's kind of mindfulness-based meditation, which kind of teaches people to block out distraction, to calm nerves. You may have seen this, Jason Day, a few years ago when he was doing pretty good, would always like close his eyes for a few seconds before each shot. Joseph Parent, who wrote the book Zen Golf, has this PAR approach. He calls it preparation, action, response. And there are so many more. These are just a few that I'm familiar with. And these are all helpful and all can be helpful, but they become hard to do if our ego is out of control, or they become a lot easier or a lot more powerful if the ego is under control. So that's why we're talking about this as kind of one of the first steps here. Jenny, what is your mental game strategy?
Oh boy. I think my mental game strategy is usually to stay positive even through the difficult holes. And then if I do hit a bad shot, I try to let myself hit another one or kind of try to walk it off. If I have like an exceptionally good shot, in contrast, I try to kind of like remember that moment, kind of take a mental picture and hold on to that positive vibe so that hopefully on the next shot I'll still have that confidence.
That's a good one. A lot of people don't celebrate their good shots enough.
Yeah, I think as humans, it's natural to just focus on the negatives, and we get really bogged down with that. For some reason, the positive ones don't really stick out. So it's definitely a practice and something that I have to be thoughtful about, but I definitely think it improves my game when I'm doing that.
Good. What is your understanding of what ego means?
I think ego is kind of, I think of it in the negative mostly, where it's like the ego is that part of yourself that wants to be the best and like the biggest. And sometimes we think of ego as like negative. You know, we'll say that person has a big ego if they're kind of full of themselves. But I guess it could also be positive if we think about like confidence and how you carry yourself.
Yeah, you could. I mean, if you type in what is ego into Google, it says a person's self-esteem or self-importance. And it's actually a good point. Bring up confidence. Ryan Holiday is a guy who wrote the book Ego is the Enemy. He says ego is actually not confidence, because confidence, he says, is properly has properly defined evidence of your strengths and abilities. So like if you've like proven to be good at something, like you can be confident in that thing. Whereas ego are these things that almost they don't have any evidence behind them, but we all just kind of think ourselves maybe higher about ourselves better than we are in reality.
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of check your ego and make sure that, you know, you're not thinking of yourself as the best or the greatest person, you know, check your ego at the door kind of a thing.
Yeah, because ego doesn't ever really let us have weaknesses. It's mostly about strengths. It's like that voice that says we're better than other people, that we're more important, that our needs matter more than others. which are maybe it's something we all share, but no one's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with ego, and this is coming from Ryan Holiday, is that ego kind of like acts as a barrier for our own self-improvement or like moving forward with our lives or learning about things. He kind of lists all these things that ego just like pushes away. He says ego pushes away feedback. So you definitely don't want to hear from other, your ego doesn't want to hear advice from other people. Why do you think that?
I feel like if you are listening to your ego and your ego is driving you, then it's all about me and my individual needs, wants, my thoughts, and it kind of like supersedes what anyone else would say or tell me.
Yeah, pushes away. So pushes away feedback, pushes away realism, pushes away potential friends and allies. It pushes away an accurate picture of risk or failure. It pushes away opportunities. It pushes away self-reflection. It pushes away our desire to improve. Any of those stand out to you?
I guess I'm just thinking about kind of along the lines of ego, that I wonder if, you know, ego is very natural and it kind of is part of our culture to, we're a very individualistic culture, so it's like me, me, me. I think it takes skill and practice, though, to kind of like shut that down and see the positives in what other people might have to say. So I guess maybe like the feedback part.
Yeah. So how would you practice that?
I think it's about like taking a step back and seeing different perspectives, not as wrong, but just as a different perspective, and not looking for like one right answer.
Yeah. Cause ego is very closed-minded. It kind of assumes that you already know everything you're going to know, and that what you think about things or the way you do things or your skill at certain things is kind of like at a higher level than maybe it actually is.
Yeah. Didn't Malcolm Gladwell say that you need like 10,000 hours of practice at something before you're considered an expert or really good at it?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that right there is like, I mean, 10,000 hours is a lot.
Yeah. It's like over 10 years.
Yeah, but if you already have that expectation for yourself, you're like, hey, I know everything about this. But you clearly probably don't. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about anything, whether it could be your skill in golf. It could be things you like about golf. It could be your belief in politics, your taste in movies or TV shows. Think about it. Like what those things are right now versus what they were like 5 years ago or even 1 year ago. And my guess is that they're different for a lot of people. When you look back on it, you see that you actually change a lot and you change your beliefs. And like politicians, they get criticized all the time for like flip-flopping, but actually maybe they actually are just changing the way they think, because that's what everyone does with literally everything in the world. There's no one who has the same belief about something throughout their whole life.
Right. Yeah. I think we need to give ourselves space to evolve too and to grow.
Yeah. And it should be seen as a good thing and not as something that means we're weak. Cause I think that's what ego tells us, that if we need someone else's help, then we're like less than them or we're weaker than them. And so ego's like, you don't need their help. You can do this on your own. Like you're smart.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if I didn't take your advice on the golf course. I mean, I couldn't hit a good shot. I'd be a mess, but I'd probably also be, like, super frustrated and upset and mad. And, you know, you're always offering me help and advice and kind of seeing that bigger picture with my swing. So, thanks.
There's an artist named Marina Abramovich, and she has a quote about ego, and she says, "The moment we begin to believe in our own greatness, we kill our ability to be truly creative." She says, "The moment we begin to believe in our own greatness, we kill our ability to be truly creative." I think this kind of gets at what we're talking about, that as soon as you think you're so good or great at something or in some area, you close off. You kind of put up all these walls. You don't explore things. You don't seek to learn. You don't really try anything new because kind of the ego thinks it's all figured out. You're so absorbed. You just have a lot of self-absorption, and it, yeah, kills any progress.
Yeah, I think a really clear example of that, I know this is a golf podcast, but when I think about like artists who make music and albums, like there's so much pressure on that second album when you're a brand new artist, and oftentimes it ends up falling short and people are disappointed. I think it has a lot to do with that pressure that we put on ourselves, or that belief, like, I am the greatest, I'm the best, and then you end up like losing your creativity, losing the ability to grow and change.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to golf, the biggest thing that ego does, or the way ego impacts golf, I mean, I think it can really impact all aspects of your game, or the way you enjoy it, or the way you experience it, or the way you compete in it, because ego brings up all this kind of fear. Whether you're standing over the first tee and there's other people around, you...
That's our dog, Francis.
Yep. Welcome to the podcast, Francis. We'll edit this out later. We have this belief in our own greatness. So when we're on the first tee and there's other people around, we don't want to look stupid. You talked about when you were in Scotland and you were really nervous in that first tee and you kept hopping the ball over and over.
Yeah.
I think part of that is like you're worried that your ego is going to be damaged. Mm. You're worried that you're going to look stupid. You're worried that people are going to think that you don't belong. All those things are... That's all ego.
Yeah. It's weird because you can have that feeling and you may not even have the thought of, oh my God, everyone's watching me. But you just have this like, it's just kind of an anxiety, I would say. Like this anxious feeling, your body's tense. You feel like you need to perform and then you can't. That's totally it.
Yeah. And this, it causes us to get nervous about the outcomes. And usually when you become nervous about how something's going to go, it really doesn't go as good as it would have otherwise.
Yeah. And also, like, if I really think about it, does anyone care if I hit a good shot? Like, no one, I mean, especially in Scotland, it's like, it really only matters to you how you do. It doesn't, the people that are with me usually are like, oh, try again. Like, they give me a lot of grace, but I often don't do that for myself.
Yeah, that's Do you say this on the last one? Like, you never treat yourself as good as, or in the same way you would treat other people?
Yeah, like a friend. Like, you wouldn't ever be so hard on a friend if they were having trouble. But for some reason, it's like, if you can't hit it, it's just, it's the worst. Like, it just brings you down and you get so hard on yourself. And yeah, I mean, I feel it in my body too. Like, for sure, it's like a physical thing.
Yeah, and there's so many... I mean, we all have our own, you know, issues or insecurities. Like in golf, if you're not okay with your friends or the people you're playing with or playing against, if you're not okay with them outdriving you on shots, you're probably going to swing too fast, swing out of your shoes to try to keep up with them. I mean, that's basically just there. Your swings, you're already out of control, and you're not going to be able to play your best. If you're not okay with missing, you know, a short putt, because you'll look bad or you'll look stupid, you're probably not going to put a good stroke on it, right? You're just going to hit a terrible putt because you're so worried, like, what if I miss it? What if I miss it? And, of course, you just end up missing it. All of these things, like, you get so concerned with what other people are thinking as opposed to kind of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. I think, too, like, there's this whole culture in golf, there's a lot of people that get so mad and so frustrated, like clubs breaking, all of this. I've never experienced, but they get kind of like in this rage on the golf course instead of it being like a peaceful experience. And I feel like if you and I went out and we had a friend who just was so mad and just like raged about their shots and couldn't hit it, like it would be so weird to us. It would stand out and it'd be like, wait, relax. Like, we don't care, you know?
But they do. So here's, yeah, maybe you can help. Yeah. There's some guys on our North Park team who will get really mad. They're getting better now because we started to work through some of these things. I'm also, you know, half golf coach, half therapist sometimes.
Yeah, I bet.
But they would say, like, they hit a bad shot and they throw a club. And they're like, well, it was a terrible shot. Why should I, like, pretend it wasn't?
Mm.
You know what I mean? So they're like, yeah, it objectively was a bad shot. So why should I not be upset about it?
But I would say it's like your reaction to that shot, which is what we're, I mean, that's what we're trying to get at here. It's like, how do you react to the negatives? And if you react in a rage or you like throw your club, it's only going to further those feelings. And I don't think it really, I think you just feel more pressure on the next hit because you're like, all right, well, I just made a fool of myself and now I really better hit it good.
Yeah, exactly. Because, or I think another way, another reason people do it is because they want to make it seem like the way they're playing or the shot that they hit was out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, that's definitely from the ego, but it's like, oh, like, they feel like you have to get so mad in order to show that, like, this is really something that never happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm so mad I hit out of bounds because I never hit out of bounds. But usually if someone says that to you, they always hit it out of bounds.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be honest with yourself. I think also there's another tendency to just avoid and move on. Like, they're not, you wouldn't take a second shot. I think I tend to do that more, where if I feel this pressure, I hit a bad shot, like I hit it maybe 10 yards, you know, off the drive. Sometimes I just want to walk away and be like, all right, well, I'm picking that up. See you later, drive. And a lot of times, like, you're the one who will say, hey, hit another one. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, well, that's,
and then I do, and it's fine. But I think some people also have the tendency to just walk away instead of trying to just get through that and push through.
Well, I think most of the people who are listening to this podcast, like, don't hit extra. They're, like, playing for their score.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different than you.
I cannot relate.
Yeah. So it's like you hit your drive, you topped your drive. Now yeah. you have to go hit that shot 10 yards away. Yeah. How would you feel?
Yeah, I mean,
because now you're mad that you hit it there, and now you have to compose yourself.
I don't know if I could play in competition.
Well, this could be a growth area for you to try it. Like, how, like, would you be able to respond to that shot? That's what we're kind of talking about.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be tough. That's like, I mean, that's a different game than
so
I
So why would it be so tough? Why do you feel that's so tough?
I mean, I can speak from just feeling embarrassed after I hit that shot. And then if I have to hit one after that, I don't know. It's like,
because you're embarrassed.
You're embarrassed, yeah. Okay. You're kind of worked up. Like, how could you hit a better shot if you are worked up then and you're all tense and mad?
Yeah. So, I think the goal here in talking about ego is, can we control our ego, or can we just, like, forget about our ego when we're playing, right? Because if you can do that, then when you top a shot, you won't be embarrassed.
Mm.
And you'll be able to hit the next one fine.
Right.
Or chances are, if your ego's in check, like, you wouldn't have even been nervous over that first tee shot, and you probably won't hit it quite as bad in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this gets into kind of expectation. I think ego and expectation go together, because when we all have expectation of how the day is going to go or how the shot is going to go, and we kind of get attached to the outcome, right? You whether the ball goes in the fairway or the rough or in the trees or out of bounds, like, you have kind of a different reaction to it. If you hit it out of bounds, maybe you'll drop your club, maybe you'll throw your club, maybe you'll slam your club, maybe you'll swear, maybe you'll just, like, get really quiet and pouty and don't talk to anyone in your group. That's maybe the most common one when people are playing bad, is they really change their demeanor. Demeanors are very different from when they're playing good to when they're playing bad. And that's kind of clearly a sign that their ego is very much in control of them.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're, like, if you're having negative thoughts about yourself on the course, that can only be ego, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your thoughts about yourself, your understanding of yourself as a person.
Yeah, because you're not okay with what's happening.
Right.
And that shows that you're not okay with like reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the best way to deal with ego, especially when playing golf, is can you be okay with every outcome of every shot? And can you see that maybe there aren't any bad outcomes?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I know Eric Anders Lang does sometimes in his videos, if he hits something, he'll be like, oh, well, this is going to be fun. Look at that. Look at that cool shot that I get to hit. Even if, you know, someone else would be like, well, I didn't make it on the green and, you know, that's a failure. I feel like he always looks at it in a positive way. Something I try to do is like when I'm going up to a new hole, I try to visualize the ball just flying down the fairway, just beautiful, straight, high shot. And I think, you know, mental pictures kind of help.
Yeah. And Eric says he has a video that we play between our classes or in our classes sometimes that he says the video is called, I think it's called Watch This Before You Play Golf by Eric Anders Lang, if you want to watch it. There's two swear words in it, but it's okay. He says that there's no such thing as a bad shot, that let's say you four putt a hole. Now you can learn from that you can need to work on your putting, right? Things like that. Like every time you hit a shot is kind of an opportunity to learn something new about yourself or to practice something about how you react to things or to just be aware of what your strengths and weaknesses are in your own game. And so if you can see it from that perspective, that even on a day where you shoot, you know, 10 strokes worse than normal, if you can do what most people don't do and actually learn from it. See, most people, when they shoot 10 strokes worse than normal, they're just mad and they're pouty and they complain and they tell all these stories of, like, I can't believe all this happened. Or they tell how stories making it seem like their score is just so funny that, like, isn't it hilarious? I made a 10 on this hole. This happens in college golf more with the people that you hang around. But everyone's kind of got these stories, and it just shows that they're not really okay with the outcome. They're not okay with the bad things happening to them. And so once you can be okay with the bad shots, you can really be okay with any outcome and start to get in control of your ego. Like, are you okay? Like, can you, this is what I've been doing personally lately, is like whenever I'm nervous over a tee shot, like that I'm going to hit it in the trees or out of bounds or whatever, I just try to think to myself, like, I'm okay with hitting it out of bounds. I'm okay with any outcome. And usually when I can actually get to that place, I hit a really good shot. So can you be okay? Can you, as you're hitting a shot, can you look out there and think, am I okay with hitting in the trees? Am I okay with hitting it there? Am I okay with hitting it there? And it's not like you want to try to hit it out of bounds, or not that you want to try to hit it in the trees, but if you can be okay with what happens, then your mind's going to be in a much better place than it otherwise would have.
Yeah. Doesn't, Randy on No Laying Up, doesn't he say something like, I imagine a miss?
Well, the mental miss.
The mental miss.
Yeah, he says over his putting for 5 foot putts, before he hits the putt, rather than like you do, Jenny, you visualize a good shot, he visualizes the bad one. And so then he's like, oh, that's okay. Now if I make it, it's only good can happen from there. So that's kind of the idea to some extent. I don't know if you'd want to be that specific in your visualizing, but it's more of just thinking, like, am I okay with shooting 90 today? Are you okay with topping off the first tee? Because usually if you can be okay with those things, they're not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're okay with it, you're not, if you are thinking so much like over a 4 foot putt, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, that shows you're not okay with the outcome of missing it. But also, chances are you're going to miss it because you're so worried about what other people think or how it's going to make you feel or what the score, how it's going to impact your score, that you're not thinking about what you actually should be doing, which is seeing a good line, thinking about a good speed, and putting a good stroke on the putt.
Mm-hmm. It's worth noting, too, it takes a long time to change your thought patterns. So this isn't an easy task by any means. Takes practice.
When I first thought, or I saw some of this from when I went through George Gankus' like mental course, and it actually is like really quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. See, I think it's more of like a habit. Your thoughts become habits and like patterns, and you think that way often enough that it's just, it's more of a, reaction, like a physical, it's not even mental maybe, like you're not thinking negative thoughts per se, but you're like seizing up and like getting tense. And I think it takes a while to change that pattern.
But to me, it's so simple of like, you're going to hit it out of bounds sometimes. It's just math.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and ultimately, like, if you hit it out of bounds, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's like, that was true. That's something that's been true. And I just, like, couldn't see it for all this time. So someone pointing it out, it's like, hey, here's a different way of looking at this. Actually, like, really opened my eyes and my mind to playing a lot better, to enjoying golf more. And, yeah, just getting better at these things.
Yeah, so you're saying it's kind of more about your intention. What are you going out there? Like, what intention do you have for the round? What are you focused on? And if you change that mindset and you're focusing more on just learning each shot, no matter what shot happens, you're saying it's not that hard to change.
And and just being okay with whatever. Like, whatever happens, you're okay with it. And that actually is kind of a strategy or a tool to play better and to shoot better scores and to hit better shots. Because if you're okay with whatever the outcome is, you're not going to be worried, you're not going to be nervous, you're not going to tense up. You're just going to be free to hit a good shot.
It'd be great if we had some listeners, like, you know, try this out and let you know, give you some feedback on it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it with our team at North Park, and some of the guys really bought in. One of the guys who bought in the most won the tournament over spring break.
Wow. So, that's great.
Yeah, because he talked about how he did all these qualifiers for Illinois Open, Illinois State Am, Chicago stuff that he always missed by like one shot. And he said that seeing this about like ego and managing your expectation actually thinks is going to help him a lot more this summer, because going into a qualifier where it's like you have to get in the top 10 or get in the top 20 to make it into the next round, that was like so much pressure, and he like wasn't okay with the outcome of not making it. And of course he like didn't make it by one every single time. And so that's just like that pressure that he's so worried about. His expectations are off, and he's worried about all these things that actually were okay. You know, like he missed the cut every time, but like, it's fine. It's not like he lost friends because of it. You know, like, we're so worried of all these like abstract things that could happen to us if we play bad, but nothing bad can happen.
I'm always amazed by how it impacts the professional golfers too. When we watch on TV, like someone who hasn't won very often, and you're just kind of waiting for them to choke. And I really think that's a mental game. Like, is their mental game strong enough? My favorite golfer, Ricky Fowler, I swear to God, his mental game is just not there, and it worries me.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Well, he's probably doing too many commercials and getting too many sponsors. Yeah,
Ricky, like, please try some meditation, man. Anything you can do, you know, to help you get there.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Pains me.
Well, I mean, he's like top 10 player in the world, I think.
But
he's
like,
got
why
a good
is he top
game.
10? Like, I'm, you know, the wins don't really matter. It's like, I want to see him win.
Well, he won last year, and he's gotten top 5 in tons of majors, which is really hard to do.
I don't know. He's still my favorite, but I'm disappointed.
I mean, just think about it. Nobody wins that much.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Maybe you need to cut him some slack.
I guess.
But maybe he could listen to this. You could send it to him, and it would help him out.
Okay.
So anyway, let's wrap this up with just think about the last time you had a shot and you were nervous or you were scared. Whatever that is. I think it's different areas of the game for each people. Maybe it's driving. Maybe it's irons. Maybe it's out of the sand. Maybe it's putting. One of these kind of comes up and gets you every time, and you don't play as good out of it as you otherwise would like to. Think about, are there outcomes there that you're actually not okay with happening? Are you not okay with hitting it into the trees? Are you not okay with three putting? Are you not okay with missing a short putt? Are you not okay with sculling the ball out of the bunker over the sand? And I think if you can be okay with those things, you'll actually play a lot better. And the things you're so afraid of, you'll find won't happen.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again, because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.